Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
So the reading comes from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 24. Paul's labour for the church. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by my commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles and glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all my energy, Christ so powerfully works in me.
Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you. It's good to be together, isn't it? Really good. It's just really beautiful, an opportunity, isn't it, for us? In these days when we're not sure how many times we're going to be able to meet like this, I think it is a wonderful opportunity for us to really raise our voices and to really proclaim him together as a community. I'd like to introduce myself in case you haven't met me before. My name is Lou. I've been worshipping in this church since 2003, I think. I think it was 2003. And during this time, I've done different things in terms of leadership here, but my current role is I serve on the servant leadership team here, and I try and make things happen. That's my role, and I serve in a school locally, Blue Coat School, which is a local C of E secondary school, and God called me into that very clearly a couple of years ago. So I think it'd be important that we pray together before we consider this passage, if you'd like to pray with me. Father God, you are so good. You are mighty and powerful. You're the beginning and the end. You're our saviour and we love you. Thank you that you have created a time this morning when we can come together, we can worship you, we can enjoy being with one another. Lord, we can lift our voices and encourage one another. We pray for the situation in this country, in this world at this time. Thank you, Lord, that you say that your perfect love casts out fear. So we cast out fear. Pray, Lord, for our emergency services, for our medics and our nurses, for all of the people who are managing the current situation, for those in government and places in authority. We pray, would you give them confidence in their knowledge, Lord? Would you give them opportunity to speak truth? I pray, Lord, we'd listen. Pray, Lord, for any here who are fearful, not sure what the coming days will bring. Thank you, Lord, that you hold us safely in your arms, just like a shepherd holds his sheep closely to his heart. Lord, thank you that you call us to be in that place nestled into you, where we are warm, where we can hear your Father heartbeat for us. I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to hear what you're saying to us today in these words. Thank you for your precious words to us. I pray, Lord, that your will be done. We'll see your kingdom coming progressively more here on earth as well as in heaven. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, we are going to have a little departure from the church at Thessalonica, and we're going to have a look at a letter that was written to the church in Colossae. So I'm going to put up a picture, if that's okay. This is what Colossae looks like now. That's what Colossae looks like now. And it was a thriving city. By the time it got to about the 5th century, it was one of the most thriving cities in the ancient Near East. And it's one that really interests me. Colossae is a community that looked a bit like Blue Coat School, where I am called to serve. So Colossae's population was mainly Gentile, but there was this big Jewish contingent there from the days of Antiochus in the 2nd century, and Colossae's mixed population of Jews and Gentiles showed itself in the composition of the church and in the problems that they then encountered. And these were the main issues that we see. They had legalism from the Jewish population, and they had some sort of mysticism from the Gentile population and from the culture. You may see why I'm interested in Colossae as someone who serves a school community. So the church at Colossae, it began during Paul's 3-year ministry at Ephesus. We see that in Acts 19, and the founder was not actually Paul. He'd never been there, actually. But Epaphras had been there, and we think that he was saved during a visit to Ephesus, and then he started the church at Colossae when he got home. Several years after that church was founded, this heresy arose to threaten it. And this was the heresy, that the Jewish legalism arose, that need for circumcision, for salvation, that observance of the ceremonial rituals of the Old Testament law around the Sabbath and the dietary laws and the festivals, but then also the worship of angels and these mystical experiences that the culture suggested were true. So Epaphras was really worried about this. So he made that long journey from Colossae to Rome. We see that in chapter 4, where Paul was a prisoner. So this letter was written by Paul as a prison epistle, a prison letter, alongside the other prison letters we see in the New Testament. So the church at Colossae interests me, because they needed that finely tuned balance to display and disciple an incredibly theologically broad church, just as I am at Blue Coat. Now, Blue Coat is our local C of E secondary school. We see lots of faith in Blue Coat, of lots of different faiths, and lots of people with no faith. But of those who are Christians, they are very theologically broad. Everything from every different church in the city that want to send their children to a Church of England secondary school, through the whole theological spectrum. And I am called to disciple them in all of their beautiful breadth of experience. And that can be hard. So what were Paul's goals in his ministry? Well, number one, he was not just out to preach. And he wasn't just out to make converts. He wanted to make mature disciples who had become complete in Christ. I'll say this again. He didn't just want to preach. He wanted to make mature disciples who had become complete in Christ alone. So how did he do it? We see some broad hints from the final 2 verses of our reading today. So we're going to just focus on verses 27 and 28. If you have a Bible with you, a Bible on your lap, or a Bible on an app, would you like to open it up with me to Colossians 1, and we're going to focus on 27 and 28. So the first way that we learn that we make disciples is by proclaiming Christ alone. We just sang it, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. Now, I believe that the growing believer longs for Christ alone. We rejoice in Christ alone, and nothing else will do. Nothing else satisfies our hearts, because nothing else satisfies the righteousness of a holy God. I say that the growing believer longs for Christ alone, but I believe that those who are not also yearn for Christ alone. And I'd like to just speak just for a minute or two to any who are listening online or in here who are not sure if you are longing for Christ alone as your King. You see, God always created you for a beautiful, walking, living relationship. And he created that in us, that desire to be fully dependent upon him, to walk trusting him. And when sin came into the world, when we go, no, God, I'm going in this direction, that's called sin. And it broke that precious relationship that you and I had with him. And since that day, everyone born has had this rebellious gene that has tended to mean that we walk in the opposite direction to God. And a perfectly good and righteous and holy and loving God can't look upon sin because it's the opposite of him. And therefore, he sent Jesus as our Christ alone, that we may walk back in relationship with him. And he died a sinner's death, that death that we deserved on the cross for our sins, so that we can be back in that relationship with him, walking every day hand in hand with him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, given direction, and able to communicate his goodness and his grace into the people's lives around us too, to learn to follow him closely and to create more followers. And Christ calls you and I into that relationship. We'll give you an opportunity later to pray more into that. So we often come under scrutiny, I do, on pressure to declare something other than Christ alone. I talk with our students a lot about this at Blue Coat. They live in a world full of YouTube influencers, a world where the Instagram celebrities say and they do, a world of TikTok. Who knows about TikTok? Ah, yeah. If you don't know about TikTok, ask Giles. Giles knows about TikTok. TikTok is really influential on our young people of today. They're all of these influences, and not all of them are bad, upon our young people's lives that threaten to take the place of Christ alone. I had the pleasure last of working and walking alongside a student in year 13 called Hannah. She's okay with me saying her name. And Hannah is a beautiful woman of God. And I visited her when she'd gone up to university, just before Christmas. I visited her and I went into her hall of residence in the lounge. They had a chart up on the wall of the communal area in her flat, lived with three or four girls. And this chart on the wall had two columns and all of these tallies. And I went and had a look, and their names were all under this chart. And the two columns were this. One column was how many people they'd slept with. And the second column was how many times they'd been sick through alcohol. They're the two columns. And all of these tallies. And Hannah's name was there, but there were no tallies. And I asked her about it. I said, are you going out? Are you just not going out? And she went, no, I'm going out. And they know that it's because I live my life for Christ that I don't have any tallies on my chart. And I was so proud. As someone, I know I'm not meant to be proud, but I was proud of her. Incredibly proud of this young lady who I'd walked alongside and God had moved in, and she'd made that decision. And actually, it was really hard for her at that time at university. In her flat, there was real prejudice, I guess, towards her. The atmosphere was really difficult because she was not doing those things. She's serving on the Christian Union Committee next in September, and she'll be organising all the evangelistic events, and I just couldn't be more excited to have spent a little bit of time walking alongside her. 2 weeks ago, my colleague Neil and I were doing a week of assemblies on integrity, one of our school values, and we shared in that week about Daniel and his mates in front of King Neb and how they refused to worship him and declaring that even if God didn't save them from the fiery furnace, even then they still wouldn't bow down and worship him. Now I pray for us, and please do pray for me, that I only ever point to salvation in Christ alone. Please particularly pray for opportunities that I have to share that widely in the city. I'm going to read you an email that I received literally days ago. And this is from Eden School. Eden School is a lovely school in Hillfield that's predominantly Muslim. And I've got a really good relationship with them. Sometimes they invite me in to talk about Jesus. And I received this email just out of the blue a couple of days ago. It said this: "Hi Lou, I hope you're well. I'd like to inquire about your availability to deliver a series of workshops on the Christian faith, with a particular focus on Easter, on Friday the 3rd of April at the school. Timings would be from 9:30 to 11:30 with a 15-minute break at 10:20. During that time, you'll have four groups visiting your workshop, with each group allocated 25 minutes. I look forward to hearing from you." Didn't have to think too long before I replied, to be honest, on that one. So what an incredible, incredible opportunity to share with young people, beautiful young people made in the image of God, who I pray are listening to this recording, to share about the good news about Jesus and what Easter means to us, to declare Christ alone to a community that don't believe Christ alone. So number one, we've learned that we make Christ alone. Number two, how else do we? We make disciples by admonishing and training to maturity. Verse 28. Now, admonish isn't a word I use every day, certainly not with teenagers, but a description is up on the screen. The quality of our ministry will be judged on the quality and the maturity of those who hear it. I'll say it again. The quality of our ministry is judged by the quality and maturity of those who hear it, who will be presented to Christ at his coming. Now, those of you who don't consider yourselves ministers, listen up. Some of you might like looking into ancient languages. Some of you may not, but it's worth knowing that the word minister, diakonos, actually means someone who serves on tables. It doesn't mean someone with a dog collar. It doesn't mean someone who's got a certain job title. It means a servant on tables. I believe we all serve those around us. So listen up, and I'm listening up too. I have multiple opportunities. I'm so blessed to teach towards maturity. I teach in assembly weeks and youth alpha. I teach on and off site for everything between 1-to-1 to 1600 in the cathedral. I teach spiritual truths to staff and write collective worship for the form times. And whilst it's possible to measure how well young people engage, maybe you can watch if they're listening or if they're tapping their pencil on the desk. Maybe you can do a quality assurance cycle and see if things are being delivered in the right way. But actually, it's God who tests the effectiveness of how I preach and teach. For those who feel that you do not serve in a minister role, you do. You do. Paul's passion was that those around him spiritually grew up. And he petitioned the church in Corinth. He said this: "Do not be like children in your thinking. My friends, be children so far as evil is concerned, but be grown up in your thinking." 1 Corinthians 14:20. So the goal of my ministry is likewise. And I could teach many hours a day, but you know what? what I think speaks loudest to the young people that I serve? What encourages them to grow up? I think it's faithfully and publicly living out what I preach in words and actions and having this apprentice model of ministry like I did with Hannah. I have two young people who are currently helping run Youth Alpha with me. One of them is Sarah Palmer, who you'll know well from our youth group, and she's been helping run Youth Alpha with me. And now I hear we're doing Youth Alpha, yes, lots of nodding, Youth Alpha at Bethel. Isn't it incredible that an opportunity for a young person can develop into something that blesses the wider Christian community? Another young lady called Grace. I work alongside all the time. She does everything alongside me. We took 40 young people on a Christian Union away weekend last weekend, and Grace was the main speaker on Saturday night. She had the big slot. She was speaking on covenant. She was talking about the promises of God. And you know what? She was incredible. And she teaches me daily what that quiet trust and adoration look like, things that I'm not too good at. And now she's developing as a gospel communicator. And I'm accountable to her, and she is to me. Who are the people in your lives that you can have that relationship with? Who do you have alongside you in your faith walk? Who are you admonishing and teaching and allowing to speak into your life too? I pray that every day our young people would know God personally, would experience his presence, and would tell their mates every day. Have an incredible opportunity and responsibility we have to share where we're at in our faith walk. Thirdly, how can we possibly do it? We've said that we make disciples by proclaiming Christ alone. We have said that we make disciples by admonishing and teaching to maturity. But finally, we make disciples by the power of the Holy Spirit. So after a person is spiritually born again, that process of sanctification, that's being made more holy, being made more like Jesus, starts. And he will accomplish what he desires for us. The Holy Spirit in Paul's life was there to transform him from circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel to the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as regard to the law of Pharisee, persecuting the church, righteousness based on the law, faultless. Two, I want to know Christ, yet to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, Philippians 3. That's the way the Apostle Paul lived his life, and the way that he taught others to live their Christian lives too. He said that Jesus energized his life with that new spiritual weapon, and he needed it, both for his transformation and because of the work of discipling is hard work. I shared in what I've called the chaplain's corner, it's pastor's desk, but when I'm on, I'd love to be a mum. Please pray for me, as I don't know if that will happen. But I am assured that parenting from those I speak to is a joy but really hard work. Yes, lots of nodding going on. Parenting the kids at Blue Coat, even if they're not my own. In Thessalonians 2, verses 11 12, which I will let Keith expound next week, but it fits here. Paul writes this, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom." When Jesus Christ takes up residence in your life, there is a powerful new power source surging through you, a new heart. And we need the power of the Spirit to let loose in us so we can spiritually parent the next generation and those around us, because it's hard work. He should, in his timing and in his gentleness, bring new desires, new principles, new motives, new goals to your life. And that living presence in your life means that he leads and fills your life with his life and labours to bring every believer to that place of obedience and satisfaction and trust when we yield ourselves to him. I've got a few takeaway questions that I'd like us to consider, if we can put them on the screen. And these challenged me as I thought about them and wrote on them. And I'd like us just to think, I'm speaking to me too, do I imitate Paul in how I conduct my life and make disciples? Am I concerned about whether those on my front lines are being presented mature in Christ? And what can I do about that by the power of the Spirit? And finally, am I willing to expend the effort and the emotion necessary to disciple others? We're going to read together those final two verses as a declaration of our intent to God. And a promise over each other, actually, to only proclaim Christ, to disciple one another, and to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to stand, if that's okay, if you're able to stand with me. And we're going to read these words together. He is the only one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Shall I pray? Father God, thank you that you have provided everything that we need to live a life that honours you, that serves you. Thank you that we have you, Holy Spirit, to guide us, to convict us, to show us the way forwards. Would you help us to proclaim Christ alone? Help us, Holy Spirit. Would you help us to admonish and teach everyone with wisdom so they may be presented fully mature in Christ? Thank you for this beautiful fellowship of believers here. And for those who are not sure, Holy Spirit, would you stir their hearts? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've died a sinner's death on the cross for each of us, that we might live a life everlasting with you. Would you give us the confidence to go, to share your goodness with those around us, to uplift one another, and to see disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.